inevitably, there's a package under the tree that says, somebody know? Here's a picture of your gift coming soon. That is me. I am always late to buying gifts. In fact, as I was coming up here, a notification came up on one of my apps saying, don't forget to buy a gift for somebody special. Is she in the room? And so anyways, that's my life. I love Christmas. I don't know about you when you think about Christmas. I do think about gifts a little too late, but our family loves Christmas. And I love seeing people with Santa hats in here. I love the season of Christmas lights, of like joyful people and generosity. And I love being here with you. And so today, I want you to think about this question. What do you think about when you think about Christmas? See, for our family, there's a bunch of things we think about. For my wife, Annie, she actually thinks about these Christmas trees. She wants a Christmas tree in every single room of the house every single year. She doesn't care what color the tree is. Some of our trees in our kids' rooms are like pink, some are blue, and it doesn't matter what. She just wants a tree in every single room, and you know what? They have to have, there's no debate in our house about this. I've tried. White lights only. Anybody here team white lights? Yeah, right? Okay, wow. It's a debate, isn't it? Team white lights versus multicolored lights. It gets serious in our family. I've given up that battle. See, that's for Annie. For me, when I think about Christmas, I think about this tradition we do every single year. I gather everybody up into the kitchen. I make hot chocolate through my special way that my mom, who's here, taught me. And then we jump in the car and we go look at Christmas lights. Specifically, we look for lights that look like this guy's house. That's what I, you know what I'm saying? We look for those lights. I'm not going to put that up. That's too much time. I ain't got time for that. But I look for those lights. Oh my gosh. Okay, let me tell you. We went to this one house this year. We literally stopped the car and almost got out, because there was a dude hanging from the roof and his ladder fell. We're like, we got to go help him. It was fake. I was like, kudos to that person who set that up. You got me. Now for my kids, when they think about Christmas, okay, at least 3/4 of them, they think about this. The peppermint chip milkshake from Chick-fil-A. They have to have it every single year. And that's why we wanted you to have some on us tomorrow. Not today, because it's Sunday. Oh, gosh, don't you always crave Chick-fil-A on a Sunday? I don't get it. But for you, maybe you're unlike our family. Maybe you're more spiritual than our family. And you think about this during Christmas. Maybe you think about the nativity. Maybe you have one in your house. Maybe you have one in your lawn. Maybe you've seen one. And you think about the Christmas story specifically. Maybe you think about the angels showing up to the shepherds. Maybe you think about the wise men bringing gifts. Maybe you think about smelly animals. I don't know where your brain goes. Maybe you think about Mary and Joseph. Or maybe you think about baby Jesus. Sweet 8-pound, 6-ounce baby Jesus. So cuddly, yet so omnipotent. You know where I'm going with that. Well, regardless of what you think and how you view Jesus, what we've been learning in this series is that Jesus is a king. Christ is not his last name. It's actually a title. It meant Messiah. And the original language said he was, it was anointed one. It was the king. Now, here's the problem with that, right? When a new king shows up, the current regime gets upset. The current regime, who was King Herod at the time, said, whoa, 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 I need to find out where this king is, because he didn't care. King Herod didn't care who you worship, but he cared who you bowed down to. He cared who your allegiance was to. And he was constantly being reminded by Caesar Augustus that he was king. And so when he heard Jesus, the king, the Christ, showed up, he sent the magi, the wise men, to go report where this child had been born. But for you today, that's what I want to talk about. What do you think of when you think of Jesus? Do you think of him as a baby, sweet, cuddly, just this little baby that we think about Christmas? Does that carry with you throughout the year that when you think about Jesus, you remember an infant in a little manger that you can pick up, snuggle with Jesus whenever you want, put him down and walk away like a grandparent, right? So maybe that's what you think of. Maybe you think of Jesus as a yes man, someone who just agrees with everything you say and do, that you're always right. Maybe you think about Jesus as a warrior, coming in with full judgment, killing anybody standing in his way, and he's always angry with you. Or maybe you think about Jesus as a vending machine. You know how sometimes we put the prayer in the slot and pray that the correct answer comes out, and then when it doesn't, we kind of get upset. And I know that's silly. Baby, yes man, warrior, and vending machine. I know that's kind of silly. But let's get serious for a moment. That's what we've been talking about in this series, is do we truly see Jesus as king, or do we only go to Jesus when we have a problem, when we have an issue. Or maybe the flip side, maybe we only see Jesus when things are good and we go to him when things are good. And when things are going wrong, we blame him for those things going wrong, right? And that's why I believe we should all follow Jesus as a king. Because when we look at him as a king, he's a king worth following. But here's the deal. If you're like me, when I hear the word king, I don't like it. Something wells up in me. Something makes me push back and go, no, 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 no. No one is the king of me. I'm the boss of me. A king comes to dictate terms. I don't want him dictating terms over me because we just want Jesus when he's convenient for us, right? That's when we want Jesus. But as we learn in this series, a king is the one who dictates the terms. And when we hear the word king, our individualistic society causes something to well up in us. Because when a king comes, we think about someone who makes their subjects work for them, for someone who's like coming with their own authority and power to make us do their bidding, someone who doesn't think about the benefit of their subjects, only the benefit of themselves, kind of like Caesar Augustus back then, or kind of like King Herod, right? But here's what I want to talk to us about today. Jesus isn't someone who comes on our terms. Jesus isn't someone that we get to make in our own image. Jesus came as a king who dictates the terms, and he demands and desires our allegiance and our obedience. And he doesn't demand for us to tell him what to do. He wants to tell us what to do with that authority. And that's kind of hard to take in, isn't it? A lot of us push back against that because we're like, Jesus, can you just be there when I need you? You can be king, that's great, but you don't need to be the authority over my life. And so today, just for the rest of our time, I want to answer this question. If Jesus was a king, is he a king worth following? Is he someone worth orienting our whole life around, not just making a part of our life? And spoiler alert, I'll give you the bottom line in case you fall asleep. I believe he is. I believe he is a king worth following, and I believe you should too. And not just believe in him. We believe in a lot of things, don't we? We believe that chair is gonna hold us up. We believe we have AC because it's not cold outside. How random is that? They're in December, right? But I believe he's a king worth following. And so today, to do that, we're gonna go all the way back to the day of Christmas. We're not gonna go to the day after Christmas. We're gonna go to the day of Christmas. And I wanna explain a moment when Jesus showed up on this earth as a baby, how he came and showed him, how the angels spoke to the shepherds. So there was these shepherds nearby. And as soon as Jesus was born, these shepherds got visited by an angel. And that's why we might think about angels during Christmas. And here's what the angel said to these shepherds. Today, in the town of David, a savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Now, when they said this to the shepherds, if you remember, if you know the Christmas story, what happened? They got a little afraid, but then they ran to meet the newborn king. They ran to meet this Messiah. And I asked myself, why? Why do they just randomly go do that? And here's why. The words to you, and if you've grown up hearing the Christmas story, you might have heard it as unto you, right? And those words back then, whenever a birth announcement was made, they wouldn't say unto you, they would say unto Rahul and Annie, Colin was born. Unto Mary and Joseph, Jesus was born. But the fact that they said, born to you, Christ the Lord, it reminded the shepherds of who they've been waiting for. This Messiah, this coming king, the final king who would finally save them from oppression. And so that's why they ran, because it reminded them of a prophecy. And here's the crazy thing. As I was researching for this message, this prophecy was one of 350 prophecies made about the coming Messiah. And as I learned about these prophecies, for someone to fulfill even just 10 of these prophecies, for this coming Messiah to fulfill 10 of them, it's 1,000,000 to 1 chances. And the fact that we now know Jesus fulfilled all 350 prophecies, according to statisticians, is virtually impossible. And so that's what I want to talk about today. That's what's amazing. I want to look at one of those prophecies that is said by the prophet Isaiah. And if you know anything about prophets, they were in the Old Testament before the Messiah came, and they came and their whole goal was to turn people back to God. Because I don't know about you, but back then they just kept running from God because they kept trusting in human kings. These kings who would come and they would be wise, they would be great, but eventually they would fail them because they were human. They weren't the coming Messiah. And they kept crying out to God, God, help us. And so God sent prophets to say, listen, you got to turn back to God. And when you do, there's a coming king, a final king, a Messiah that you're going to be so excited about, and you just can't wait. And so I want to read to you one of these prophecies. And so Isaiah, we're going to go all the way back to Isaiah, over 800 years before Jesus was born, before Christmas Day. And here's what Isaiah says. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? That's the same verbiage that the angel used for the shepherds, which is what remind them of this prophecy. And it's fascinating because he said a child is born, which means it's going to come as a human. He'll be born as a baby. And then a child, and to us, a son is given, showing that it's not going to come from human parents, that God is going to be the one to give this son. And then this last statement is what everyone back then got so excited about. And the government will be on his shoulders. Now we think, oh man, he's going to be oppressed. But what that actually meant was that the government, he was going to be over every single government. He was going to rule. He was going to be over every single person on this earth. And that got excited because the nation of Israel back then, they were living in constant fear of people coming in and killing their people and hurting them and ravaging their towns and stealing them and turning them into slaves and putting them into exile. So this was the most exciting thing. And then Isaiah explains how this coming king will rule and the kind of characteristics he has. And this is what he says. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So over here, every year we used to do this thing with our kids where we would make these ornaments. The kids would get together, they'd make them. And on them, we would write the names of Jesus, the coming Messiah. And then we would have a verse on them. And this would be on our dining room table. And we would, every night after dinner, one kid would take one. And before throwing it across the room, they would, real life, gosh, these kids. They would read the name and then read the verse on the back. And then we'd talk about how that applied and how people back then were so excited about this specific name. And every night we would do that leading up to Christmas. And then on Christmas, we would have a whole tree dedicated in our dining room just to the names of Jesus. It was so cool. And it's just really cool because I grabbed these from this tree. So when they get home today, they're gonna be like, "Where the tree looks empty." It's because I grabbed it to show you because it is such a good visual and a good reminder about the names of Jesus. And so when Isaiah is talking about these specific names, they're impactful. They meant more than us just singing songs about them, more than just us reading them. And that's what I want to unpack today to show that Jesus is a king worth following. And this first one, Wonderful Counselor. Let's talk about that. When we hear that, we kind of think of our counselors today, right? Sitting in a room, explaining our feelings or what's going on in our heads, and they're the ones helping us get past our problems and getting past our thoughts to move forward and have a breakthrough. That's not what Isaiah is talking about. Now, those aren't bad. In fact, I highly recommend everyone get a counselor. Those are so stinking helpful. But this specific counselor was actually a government term that Isaiah was talking. See, the wisest of kings back then, they would gather a court of advisors, and these advisors would help the kings make wise decisions so they weren't ruling on their own, and they would have different opinions. They would determine, do we tax the people? Do we not tax the people? Do we raise taxes? Do we invade other countries? Do we just guard our own country? Different things like that. And so when this was speaking about the coming Messiah, about Jesus, it was fascinating to say, this person would come and not need a court of advisors. This person would be the wonderful counselor, the one that causes awe and amazement because their wisdom is so divine. And when Jesus came, even as a child, if you read the scriptures, if you read the historical accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the people, it would say the people were amazed at his divine wisdom. And Jesus even said about himself, "I am the good shepherd, and he is here to guide us, to guard us, and to grow you." And for me, oh my gosh, I need that every single day. Every morning, my prayer is, God, give me the wisdom to know what to do and give me the courage to do it. Wisdom and courage, because I want to be the most effective leader. I want to be a great boss. I want to be a great dad, a great husband, a great pastor. And I need that wisdom because I'm a human. I don't have it all. And so I go to him and he can help us with that. And that's what he wants to give for you. That's a wonderful counselor. Solomon puts it this way. He said this in Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Say it with me. All your heart. The reason I want you to say that is not a part, right? Which is how we sometimes see Jesus. He wants it all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, submit to him. Ooh, we do not like that word, do we? We're like, submit, hold on, Raul. Mm-mm. Nope, that means you're telling me to give up my rights. That means you're telling me to put God above me. No, 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 I'm the king of me. That's why we don't like that word. But he's saying in all of your ways, submit to him. So if you give Jesus all your heart and you submit to him, what happens? He will make your paths straight. He'll lead you down that path that you've been asking for. He'll give you the guidance to know what to do in every situation, as long as you don't just give a part of you. Don't give it a part of your life, but your whole life. And that's why he is Wonderful Counselor. Now this next one after Wonderful Counselor is Mighty God. This one is interesting because if you know me, I'm a huge Marvel buff. Don't worry, I'm not going to spoil Spider-Man. You need to go see it. Oh my gosh. But anytime I think about Mighty God, if the original language says divine hero, I think about Spider-Man and Captain America swooping in, saving the people. But then what happens? They leave. And that's all the times, that's what people were thinking back then when they heard Mighty God. They might have thought, he's a divine hero to come and just help us when we need it and leave. Y'all, Jesus is so much bigger than that. He's all powerful. He's the divine hero. And we're told that everything was made by him and also was made for him. He's over all creation. He's over us. He has all the strength. But what does that mean for us? What does that mean for the people back then? Well, that means he's a deliverer. That means he is the one who can see you through no matter what you're going through. When the dark times you're in, no matter the desert you're in, he can walk with you. Maybe this year, or maybe even right now, you're struggling because your company's struggling, or you're an employee and you're worried about your job because the company you're in is struggling. Maybe you're struggling financially and there's an unexpected expense that came about, or a medical expense, and you don't know what to do. Maybe you have a relationship problems with your siblings or your family, and they're coming for Christmas and you're walking on eggshells already, and you're worried about the arguments. Maybe your kids aren't living the way you hoped and you're feeling guilty and you're feeling like a bad parent. Regardless of what it is, Jesus is the deliverer. He can help you with that. And that doesn't mean he's just gonna fix your problems like a vending machine, like a genie God, right? See, Jesus adds his super to our natural. We've gotta do our part, and he comes alongside and adds his power and gives you his strength to continue through and to walk with you every single day so you can overcome what you're struggling with. That's why he's called Mighty God. Now this next one, Everlasting Father. This one's kind of tough for me to grasp. And every time I see Jesus and Everlasting Father and God as our Father, I struggle. So I didn't grow up with a dad. He died when I was 4. And I got angry during that time, like really angry. And in fact, I blamed God. I wasn't even a follower of Jesus, but I blamed God during that time. And until I grasped this concept, and until I chose to follow Jesus, when that happened, I started seeing God as compassionate. As God, as a loving father who cares for me, who encourages me, who supports me, who's there when I need him. That's what it means by Everlasting Father. And here's the crazy thing. I don't know if you grew up with a good earthly dad or a dad at all, but God is your good, good father. And because of Jesus, we can have a relationship with him. And that's unheard of back then. Because pagan gods, there was no conversation, there was no relationship. And the fact that Isaiah would say, heaven is gonna invade earth, and you're gonna be able to have an intimate relationship with God because of Jesus is massive. And he's everlasting, that he'll never ever leave you or fail you. Now, this last name, Prince of Peace. For us today, and probably back then, this is the one they got most excited about. See, the Prince of Peace meant, yes, finally, the nation of Israel, our people, the Jews, God's people, are gonna rise above everyone else. No other dynasty, no other empire is ever going to be on this earth again, because God is gonna rule and he's gonna wipe out all our enemies. He's gonna come with a sword and kill everyone. Not exactly what Isaiah meant. When Isaiah spoke of Jesus coming as the Prince of Peace, he stepped onto this earth and said, I've come to bring you peace, not with other nations, not as a threat, but as someone who brings peace between you and God. And I'm gonna be the mediator is what Jesus came to do, so that we can have peace with God once and for all, that we can have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. So we can see Jesus as Mighty God. We can see Jesus as Prince of Peace and Wonderful Counselor. That's why he came. And so he came to bring us peace with God. And I don't know about you, but when he did that, That's what gives us a peace that goes beyond all understanding, this supernatural peace. You know why? For me, December has been nuts. It has been crazy. Why is it at the end of the year when it's supposed to be the most joyous time, December is when everything hits the fan? I don't know if that's how it is for you, but that's how it is for me. And I've constantly received God's peace because I had to step out of my situation and go, Jesus is still on the throne. He is with me. And because of that, I have peace with God and I can have peace in my life, right? And so Jesus being the Prince of Peace, what that means is it's not an absence of problems, but it's the promise of his presence with you through the storms of life. That's what it means to have peace. And back then they didn't get that until Jesus came, died, and came back to life. And so these four names, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace, that's just the short list. And all of the names, actually, we had a bigger bowl on our table, but we did this because it looked nicer. But this doesn't even fit all of the names of Jesus. And that's what Isaiah was trying to get at, is he's going to be this coming king and more. And this is why he's a king worth following. A king who wants to loan you his wisdom and be your wonderful counselor. A king who wants to give you his strength and help you deliver you from anything you're facing. A king who gives you this supernatural peace because he is the everlasting father and is with you through every single moment. And a peace that brings joy. But this only happens when you don't just believe in Jesus. When you make him the king of your life, when you obey him and you change your allegiance to him, not just a part of your life. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. These are qualities that Isaiah mentioned and described Jesus perfectly. And he didn't come to be a normal king, as you can tell. He came to usher in an upside down kingdom, a kingdom that put others first, a kingdom that where he led the way. Let me say it, and let me explain it in Jesus' own words, where he said this. He said in Matthew to his disciples, but Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people and the officials flaunt their authority over those under them. He's explaining how typically how we see a king, how we hear the word king and they flaunt their power and authority over them. And he explains not, but among you, it will be different. Here's where it is, the upside down kingdom, the different kind of kingdom that we've been talking about. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be on top, you must serve first. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. That is ridiculous. That Jesus would come and tell them to the way you lead is by serving. The way you become first is you become last. You humble yourself. You give up of yourself. And what I love is what he says next, because he didn't just tell them to do it. He said, I'm going to go first. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so the next name that I would give Jesus based on what he just said is I'm going first as servant king. He came to serve and not be served. What king does that? That he would serve his people. Ultimately, he would serve his people so much that he would become savior king. So much so he loved us and he loved the people back then that he would go and give himself so much so that he would give himself to die a criminal's death so that you, so that me, so that all of us can have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. That he would give up his divine privileges in heaven. He had everything he ever wanted. He had as much bacon as he ever wanted, but he chose to come down and be here with us, put himself in a form of a baby first, where he had to be cared for, where he had to know what it felt like to grow up on this earth, to experience the problems we experience, to face the things we face, and to grow up ultimately being born to die for you on a cross. That's the kind of king I follow. And that's the king I believe you should follow. And that's Jesus, our servant king. And that's Jesus, our savior king. And so today, unlike other kings, this Jesus, he calls you to obey. And it's not to burden you. It's to bless you. It's not to tear you down. It's to build you up. And listen, it doesn't mean he promises you an easier life. It doesn't mean your problems are going to go away like that. He doesn't promise easy, but he promises better. And don't we all want better? Better marriages, better relationships, better life, better leadership, and ultimately, better communities. Because you see, that's the evidence of following Jesus. That's the evidence of following the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the everlasting Father, because he makes you better at life. And in turn, he causes you and the people around you to be better because you serve those people versus serving yourself. So the question I want to ask you that we've been asking throughout this whole series, the final question as we end this series, is this. Is Jesus your king? Is Jesus your king? Not that you've prayed the prayer and just believe in him. That's easy. But do you bow to him? Do you obey him? Do you live in allegiance to him where you submit to his ways and participate in his kingdom? And he's not just a reference point for your life, but he's the context for your whole life. So let's be a people. Let's be a church who live in allegiance to that king so that we can experience the benefits of that kingdom and bring him glory. Doesn't mean the road's gonna be easy, but you're gonna like who you become. So to close our series, here's kind of what we wanted to do. We wanted to give you an opportunity to make Jesus your king, for Jesus to become your king, for you to choose to follow Jesus. And and this is not if you've prayed the prayer and say you believe it. This is for you. I want to, for the first time, choose to follow Jesus in this Christmas season to know that he is my king and I will choose forever to live with him. This is not a quick decision. This is not like sure, Raul, whatever floats your boat. That's not what it is. This is the one and saying, I give my life to the one who loves me, who sees me, who knows me, who died for me, who knows the amount of hairs on my head. And if you're bald, knows the amount of hairs that should have been on your head, but loves you so much that he would go before you and sacrifice for you instead of expecting you to sacrifice for him. So regardless, here's what I'd like to do. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And this has no magic words. It's Raul's words, but it will sound like what Paul told us to do in Romans, where he says, for if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And that's all that is. And if you truly believe that, he will forgive you of your sins. You'll live in eternity with him forever. And he'll give you his Holy Spirit to continue to follow him every single day of your life. So I'm going to ask everyone to bow your head and close your eyes as we do this. And if you want to pray that prayer, you can pray it out loud. You can pray it in your heart. You can do however you want. But here's what it is. Here's the prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Because of him, I can have a relationship with you. And because of him, I want to follow you. I want to make him king over my life. I choose now to live in obedience to him. I believe he died for my sins. And I believe you raised him from the dead. Thank you that you want a relationship with me. Thank you for being the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, and my everlasting Father. Now, as everyone's eyes are closed and heads are still bowed, if you made that decision, I want to give you a chance to respond. I want you to be bold, and I'm going to ask you right now just to raise your hand and look at me so I can celebrate with you if you chose to make that decision. Awesome. I see you. Let's pray together. God, you are so great and mighty. You are glorious that people would choose to follow you today, that their Christmas is now different. Their Christmas, they're walking with you, and you're going to give them the strength and the power to make it through. That every day, you are going to be the one who guides them. You're the one who's going to continue to see them through. You're their deliverer. You're the one who has the power to help them. And for the rest of us, you're that same God. You're not any different. You're with us. You love us. And we're so grateful that we can have a relationship with you. Father, today, remind us of that. When things get tough, remind us that you're with us. And when things are going good, remind us that you're with us and allowing us to choose to obey you and to follow you. In your son's mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen.